We've been studying the doctrine of justification as it's explained in the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 11. This morning we'll turn to the second half of the chapter, which has to do with the timing of justification, the experience of justification, and the way in which justification was worked out before and after the time of Christ. Let me read sections 4, 5, and 6 with you or to you. God did from all eternity a decree to justify all the elect, and Christ did in the fullness of time die for their sins and rise again for their justification. Nevertheless, they are not justified until the Holy Spirit does in due time actually apply Christ unto them. God does continue to forgive the sins of those that are justified. And although they can never fall from the state of justification, yet they may by their sins fall under God's fatherly displeasure and not have the light of his countenance restored unto them until they humble themselves, confess their sin, beg pardon, and renew their faith and repentance. The justification of believers under the Old Testament was, in all these respects, one and the same as the justification of believers under the New Testament. Well, paragraph 4 begins by telling us that God decreed from all eternity that he would justify his elect people. There is an eternal dimension to justification. We get a glimpse of this when we see in the Old Testament scriptures a confident expectation that God would be justifying people in the future. And there was a basis for that. I think this is also what Peter has in view when he explains that according to God's foreknowledge, we were chosen to benefit from Christ's obedience and, he says, the sprinkling of his blood. Blessings which come to us in the form of justification. And Paul connects justification with election very clearly when he tells us that all those whom God predestined, he also, among other things, justified. Justification is determined in eternity, but it's also important to see that it depends on an event in history. For forgiveness and righteousness to be realities for us, someone had to come in the fullness of time. And of course, the Word of God states with clarity that it was Jesus Christ. He was the one who was delivered over to death for our sins. He is the one who was raised to life for our justification. For Christians, for those who are united with Christ, there's a very real sense in which we can say that we are justified with Jesus 2,000 years ago. Unfortunately, over the centuries, some Christians have focused on God's eternal decree to justify, or on the justification in Christ's resurrection so much that they've lost sight of the fact that justification really occurs in the life of believers. This is really most unhelpful to lose sight of this, and in fact, it does not at all account for the emphases of Scripture itself when it comes to justification. Does not Scripture tell us again and again that we are justified by faith? But if we're already justified, say, in eternity or on the cross, well, then we can't be justified by faith, really. Then faith is only sort of realizing that we've already been justified a long time ago. Closely related to that, does not the Bible teach us that there was a time when we were alienated from God and then reconciled to him through Christ? In fact, do not some of us actually remember a time of alienation in our own lives? Perhaps some of us might even remember the moment of reconciliation. But how can this be true? How can this experience be really true if we are, in fact, justified so long ago? Well, it seems to me that sometimes people are so eager to affirm God's verdict that we're not justified by works of the law. And that's one reason why they place justification in eternity so that we can't have anything to do with it ourselves. They're so worried about protecting the idea that we are not justified by what we do, but that they forget that Scripture clearly teaches that we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. They also forget the work of the Holy Spirit in our salvation. For if we are justified in eternity or two millennia ago, the Spirit's work in uniting us to Christ cannot really be relevant to salvation. Properly speaking, Christians are not justified until the Holy Spirit, in due time, actually applies Christ unto us. And yet, as paragraph 5 goes on to explain, and as every Christian believer knows, even justified people sin. Well, the good news is that those who are justified in God's sight will be forgiven for our every sin. There is a reason why our Lord taught us to pray, "Forgive us our debts." And there's also a reason why the Apostle John assures us that we will be forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sin. If we confess our sins, He really is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to hear that if any man sins, we will have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And when we look at the sins and the world around us and the world of our own sins, we need to hear that we have an advocate with the Father, and we need to be reminded that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins us only, but for the sins of the whole world. You see, we are in a state of justification, and we cannot fall out of it. As Jesus Christ once prayed that Peter would not fall, so He continues to pray for us, each one of His children, that we will not fall. The words of our Lord spoken to Jewish people in the temple so long ago is equally true for people who are in Cambridge right now. When our Lord said that He gives eternal life, He went on to say that those who receive that life will never perish. And so our Lord Himself has promised that no one will snatch us out of His hand. The effect of His sacrifice is not for a moment, not for a day, for a month. It's for an eternity. We cannot fall under God's judicial sentence if we trust in Christ. But we must not forget that we can, in our sin, fall under God's fatherly displeasure. And saying that this is God's fatherly disapproval and not His judicial condemnation, we're in no way trying to minimize it. We, while we have a loving and merciful Father, His displeasure is genuine. And like the just anger of an earthly father, the anger of a heavenly Father is not something we want to live with. The experience of God's disfavor can be very difficult indeed. It can be difficult to bear, as David confessed on more than one occasion through the Psalms. But remember that when God shows us His displeasure for our sins, He does so that He can restore the light of His countenance to us. He wants us to humble ourselves, to confess our sin, and to beg His pardon. He wants us to renew our flagging faith and our often random repentance. Well, lastly, we're told in section 6 that the justification of believers under the Old Testament is really, in all these respects, one and the same as that justification of believers that we see in the New Testament and that we see today. In saying this, the authors of the confession are only being consistent with what they've said about the covenant in general in chapter 7, and what they've said about Christ the mediator in chapter 8, and what scriptures say throughout. God's salvation is one and the same through all time unto eternity. And men have always, like Abraham, been justified by grace through faith, not of themselves. It's always been a gift of God. The Old Testament saints look forward in faith to be justified. In the New Testament, the saints look backward to be saved, or look to Christ who is right there. But it's the work of the one who is the same yesterday and today and forever that saves us all. Could our zeal no longer know? And could our tears forever flow? Could Adam's or Abraham's or David's or Peter's tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. And that is because Christ must save and Christ alone. Well, let us come to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come this morning to thank you for the matchless gift of justification. We thank you that in Christ we can find our sins forgiven, every one of them. And we thank you that in him we have a covering for who we are, for we can hide in his righteousness and stand before you in his perfection, because you are a gracious and a just God. Hear our prayers and transform us by your Holy Spirit so that we will live gracious lives of thankfulness before you all of our days and during this hour. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.